appreciate you. We honor you. We ask that your name be glorified in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Adonai. Worship to your name, Ancient of Days. Thank you for this moment. Lord, I ask that you minister to us today. Let not one of us be the same. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a big clap of hands? Give the Lord a bigger clap of hands. Hallelujah. Please help me welcome 3 people by your side. Shake hands with them. And welcome them to this wonderful occasion. Give the Lord a clap as you take your seat. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning, afternoon now, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to apologize to you for our movement from here down and down here. But we thank the Lord for this opening meeting. And I congratulate everybody for your coming. God bless you in Jesus' name. Is there somebody else who came from outside Nigeria? Apart from the 2 pastors from Cameroon? Any other person? Actually, we had a slight challenge with our publicity of this program on the satellite. So, a lot of pastors had called me from various places who would love to be here, but I know November will be better. The November meeting will be better. The publicity for that on the satellite will be more than what we have. Praise God. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. And also welcome especially those who came from outside Federal Capital Territory. Anybody who came from outside Federal Capital Territory for the purpose of this meeting, can I see your hand up? Well, can you stand on your feet, please? You came just for this meeting from outside FCT. All right. You're welcome. Here is Reverend Ezekiel from Akwa Ibom State. You're welcome, sir. Where are you from, man? Nasarawa State. You're welcome. Kogi State, Dikina, you're welcome. Kogi State also, you're welcome. Ida, Mina, Niger State, you're welcome. Enugu State, how did you hear of the program? Your sister told. Your brother told you. Wow. Are you together with the man? Oh, your husband, all from Enugu State, you are welcome. What of you, sir? Nasarawa State, you are welcome. Sister? Enugu State. Lagos State. How did you hear of the program? Somebody transfer. Through your daughter here. Oh, you are welcome, ma. What of you, sir? Nasarawa State. You're welcome. Kogi State, yes. Is that Shedrack there? You're welcome. Kogi State, all the Kogites, you're welcome. Can we give the Lord a big clap of hands? I'd like to appreciate everyone here today. I know we can never go back the same in Jesus' name. Will you lift your right hand up and just say one word to God as far as your expectations are concerned? Something you are expecting from the Lord today. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. We have a monthly devotional that we publish every month. How many of you have ever seen a copy of it? Have ever used a copy of it? Right. Somebody's just sent me a text today concerning the message of today on the devotional. Just sent me a text and he felt that message touched him so much. So I want to read it for us. And if you have it, you can open it too. And if you don't have it and somebody has it by your side, I'd like us to just look at it together. The message of the Seed of Destiny of Wednesday, 24th of September. The title is, As If It Is the Last. That is the subject. It says, James chapter 4 verse 14 says, Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our thought for today is, you live at your best when you live each day as if it is the last. You live your life at your best when you live each day as if it is the last. And this is a text, it says, James says, we should not count on tomorrow. He says, in essence, that we should live each day of our lives as if it is the last. Now, when each day of life is lived as if it is the last, life is put in very proper perspective. When each day is lived as if it is the last, there is an immediate elimination of irrelevant issues and schedules of life in favor of more profitable, eternally important issues. There will be the elimination of the intake of irrelevant or junk materials from magazines, videos, CDs, TV, the internet, etc. When each day is lived as if it is the last, nothing that has a damning or corrupt influence will ever be permitted. When each day is lived as if it is the last, there will be the elimination of non-profitable, inconsequential company or association, as well as intolerance of empty, vain, or unprofitable discussions. When each day is lived as if it is the last, there will be no time for strife, tension, malice, or petty quarrels. When each day is lived as if it is the last, enough time will be created to enjoy and invest in the profitable relationships of our lives. Time is made available for investment into the people we value. When each day is lived as if it is the last, we ensure that we live at our best. Live each day as if it is your last, because one day it will be the last. One day, it will be the last day. One day, a particular day will come when it is just the last day of life. And the assignment is, go through the passage, go through the text, and identify action points. For example, the kind of things we say you should eliminate out of your life, the irrelevant associations and so on and so forth. And secondly, it says, go ahead and put them into action. For further study, listen to this tape, do it now. And I believe that God will help us. It touched me so much when these thoughts came to me. At first, it touched me so much, and it just put my life in a very, very correct perspective, far beyond what it was before. And one day it will be. One day it will be. So if you don't have this, you pick up a copy, laminate it somewhere, or write it out somewhere, and let it remind you that one day, today, will be the final day. You know? And I'm sure that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Praise God. Open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 1. Let's start from verse 2. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron,
whether I shall recover of this disease. The king of Israel is sick and he is sending to the god of Ekron. Ekron, the god of Ekron, Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. But the angel of the Lord sent to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, Is it because there is no God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus fear the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou hast gone up. You shall surely die. And Elijah departed. When the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and said unto him, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you have sent to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you this was? And they said unto him, he was a hairy man, get about with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 and his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, we have come together to discuss on the subject, acquire the fire, which is the theme of this minister's conference. But I'm going to be zeroing down on the subtopic, the necessity of the fire. The necessity of the fire. Because before a person will acquire the fire, he needs to know that the fire is necessary. That the fire is necessary. I am going to say a few things very quickly before I descend down into the core of the message. Elijah, the Tishbite, was such a man that could speak to any authority, any king, any ruler, any governor, any monarch at any time. Was a man that had God. He had spoken to Ahaziah, the king, who was going to an idolatrous altar to make inquiry. God spoke to Elijah and he interrupted him. And now, Ahaziah sent people to arrest Elijah. See, I read the margin and the references around it and I realized that it was not a peaceful message he sent. You mean he told you that I am going to die? Go and catch him. You mean he told you I'm going to go on this bed and not come down? Go catch him. And one of the translations said, one of the commentators said, thou man of God, the king said, come down. That word was a mockery. You call yourself a man of God, we came to arrest you. You who refer to yourself as a man of God, we came to arrest you. That was why Elijah replied, if I be a man of God, let it be confirmed. If I be, let fire confirm whether I'm a man of God or not. And I am going to come to that very quickly. But the first thing I want to let you know concerning this necessity of the fire, there are five things I'm going to say quickly before we step into what we have. The first thing why fire is necessary in ministry is because fire gives authority to declare. The authority. A man, a woman of God who is on fire is a man and a woman of God who has been authorized to speak on behalf of heaven. A man and a woman of God who is in touch with fire is a man and a woman of God who has the audacity to speak to royalty. I'd like you to follow what I'm saying. He has the audacity to speak to royalty. And there is something that pains me today so much. And that is the fact that we have very few men and women of God who could speak to leaders. We have a lot of people preaching to everybody. But in the days of Elijah, in the days of Moses, in the days of Joseph, in the days of Daniel, you had people with enough authority and audacity to speak to royalty. People who speak and kings listen. People who speak and determine the direction of a whole nation, a whole territory. And you must understand that the bankruptcy of fire, the shortage of fire, is the reason why the voice of ministries are not heard. The shortage of fire, the bankruptcy of fire, is the reason why the voice of pastors are not heard. Why is it that the president of a country or the governor of a state or the ruler of a territory will not call for a pastor or a minister to find out his opinion concerning the steps he wanted to take? It's because of the shortage and the bankruptcy of fire. There are many pastors on various pulpits, but there are few firemen and women. The Elijah quality of people are scarce. And there is a general cry, I believe in heaven, for the raising up of the Elijah kind of people. Somebody once cried and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And I believe that the real cry should be, "Where are the Elijahs of God?" Because God is constant. It's the people that are variables. So we need a voice. We need a voice. We need a territorial voice. We need regional voices. We need national voices. We need voices that can speak to municipalities. We need voices. When you speak, they hear. When you declare, they hear. Am I speaking to some of the voices? We need voices that are not apologizing. We need voices that are not shaking and whimpering before the powers and the authorities of this world. We need voices that will speak like the voice of Elijah, the voice of thunder. We need voices that compel the attention of generations. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I believe that the office of the prophet is higher than the office of the king. That is what I believe. You see, but in our days, we have a lot of prophets looking up to kings. Am I speaking to somebody here? And saying all manner of things for kings to favor them. But I believe the office of the prophet is higher than the office of the king. So kings must look up to prophets. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I saw somebody on a newcomer line on Sunday. As I was shaking hands with newcomers, I saw him on the line. Somebody who, big man in government, who is governor in the past administration, just now, it ruled for 8 years in his state, and he was standing on the newcomer's line, and I was shaking hands with him, and I came close to him. He was trying to introduce himself to me. I said, "I know you, sir." So, well done, sir. The respect was heavy. And he was ready to hear what I'm saying. And I won't get into the details of the balance of the story. But the relationship showed that the king respected the office of the prophet. So you need a fire. The fire is the amplifier of the voice of the pastor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The fire is the amplifier. Fire is amplifier. The fire is the amplifier of the voice of the minister in his generation.
When a man is lacking in fire, you can scream and not be heard. You can shout and not be heard. You can sweat and not be heard. Principalities don't hear you, powers don't hear, and people don't hear. Secondly, this fire is crucial because fire causes the minister to secure his position in ministry. The position God has given to a man of God is secure by the ministry of fire. So, Elijah knew that he had fire. He knew what he had. That was why he could talk to the king like that. He knew what he had. He knew the mantle he carried. He knew what he could invoke per time. That was how he talked to the king like that. He was sitting on the top of the mountain. And that is why I told you that the office of the prophet is higher than the office of the king. He was sitting at the top of the hill. That is where you belong. He was sitting right on the top of the hill. And they were saying, come down from there. Me, come down from my apostolic office. You want to shift me from my prophetic position. You want to arrange me out of sight. You want to displace and dispossess me. Don't you know there are churches that witches close down? Don't you know there are people that ancestral spirit drove out of ministry? Generational curses and spirits. Don't you know that there are people that Jezebelitan oppressions could not allow for them to prosper in life? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That was what they wanted to do to Elijah, to move him out of place, to move him out of his position, out of his allotted position. And he said, me, move from here, you are roasted before I move. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are ministries today that should have been bigger than what they are, if not that there are some territorial forces trying to displace them. I'm telling you the truth. There are ministries today that should be wider, larger than what they are, if not that there are some hostile forces, regional forces, territorial forces trying to dispossess them. But when you are a man aflame with the fire of God, with fire in your bones, with thunder in your heart, they are buried before you move. Some time ago, a herbalist came around this place calling himself a pastor. And there are many of them herbalists who have decided to come out of the shrine, come out of it and wear suit and tie and call themselves pastors. They charge you money for consultation. They bath women who want fruit of the womb. And they do all manner of abominable practices. And one came around this area, called himself a pastor. And I told the devil, two of us cannot be in this territory. Light and darkness are not, it can't coexist. Are you following what I'm saying here today? And some of you, they send some agents of darkness to monitor you, to remote you, and uproot you from the position God gave you. And you were not sensitive enough to see it. So they resisted your assignment. But today must mark the end of it, because you shall acquire the fire and send all of them to their early grave. Somebody shout fire. Look at your neighbor, say, no devil can move me. Say it louder, say, no devil can move me. Say it louder, say, no devil can move me. When I was four, we were coming to Abuja to start a church. A man, big man of God, was giving me a counsel. And he said, this place is very hard. And this place used to be very, very hard. That's the truth. I believe that God has broken the powers of the air to some extent in this territory. He used to be very... He said,
He told me, he said, I know somebody who came to town. He came to start church with 500,000. He invested everything, did everything, tried for church to work. He could nothing move. He closed up and went back with 15,000. He was giving me all manner of negative testimonies. He said, this place is hard, though. I told him, I hear. You know what Elisha told the sons of the prophet? I know it. Hold your peace. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You will not permit any devil to close your voice. If you have really been sent of God, you will not permit any devil to close your church down. You will not permit any devil to make the ground hot for you. You are the one to make the ground hot for the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Hear me today. If there is anything this minister's conference is going to achieve, it is an impartation of fire, an injection of fire in your system, in your ministry, to let the devil know you are unmovable, unstoppable, unharassable. You are not displaceable. You are not dispossessable. Somebody say amen.
When they demolish churches, how many pastors part out of town? And those who part out of town, I'm convinced that it was, for most of them, it wasn't the will of God to move out of town. God sent you to town, and demolition sent you out of town.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Do you understand what I'm talking about? That was what they wanted to do to Elijah. That hill is prophetic, is significant. Who shall ascend to the holy hill of God? It is prophetic, is significant. He was seated at a vantage position, at a place of authority, a place of impact. He was seated right in the presence of the Lord, and one demonic king said, move.
There are people who move things but are not movable.
For example, caterpillar, bulldozer. It will push anything. But can anybody push it?
That a tractor spoiled, bulldozer spoiled. Please, all of us, let's try and push it. It's not movable.
Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is why this fire is so needed. So that you are not the only one hearing yourself. You have what to say and nobody is hearing. You have the revelation and nobody is hearing. Occultic agent is showing his occult on television. You have what to say and there is no means. You need raw fire baptism to amplify your voice. You need it. And you need this fire to secure your position in ministry, to be settled where God settled you, and to refuse to be unsettled by any devil.
By the message of God, where we are and what we are doing today, I believe there is no witch in Abuja who is not aware. And there is no wizard that is not aware. And there is no principality that is not aware. There is no native doctor that is not aware. One came to set up a native doctor shop here from Enugu. And he couldn't achieve nothing. Was arrested, came here to give her life to Christ. Went back to Enugu to bring the shrine and to set it on fire in this place. The ground was too hot for her to establish it. God is not looking for people who are hanging in one corner and doing something as if they are doing shrines. God is looking for territorial commanders. Am I speaking to somebody here? God is looking for people who will secure territories and keep it for God.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Every day, as frequently as possible in this place, we curse occultic agents and their people in the city who want to plant themselves contrary to the will of God. Somebody came here on Sunday, half dead. They rushed him here. He was going to sacrifice his mother. He was going to make money, and they asked him to bring his mother. He said, I can't bring my mother.
Is it alright? It's either your mother or yourself.
What?
That was when his problem started. The first thing, they inflicted him with madness. Next thing is for him to die. For refusing to bring this mother. They brought him here. Half dead. Unable to walk. The brethren carried him. His breath was going. His heart wasn't beating normally. God raised him up here. And in return for that, we send the arrows back to every agent of darkness from the pit of hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You must. We need this judgmental, brutal fire to secure your ministerial position. For a witch to look for your trouble and succeed is not the fault of that witch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third thing, because I have so much to say today. I have so much to say. The third thing, the third reason for the necessity of this fire is fire eliminates opposition and secures your position. A man, a woman, a pastor, a minister, whatever minister you are, apostle, prophet, anything you are, you need to walk in a dangerous dimension of fire in order for you to eliminate the oppositions to your life and ministry and to secure your position. There are people we pray for to repent and they repent. There are people who don't repent. What is good for them is expire. If I be a man of God, let fire fall. Full stop. As for this place, I'm not moving. I'm not moving by your force. I can move and do anything I want by myself, but no devil can move me from here. That was what Elijah was saying. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? You need to secure your God-given position in ministry, in business, in your career, in the dimensions of realms that God has in mind for you. You need to secure your God-given position. And that is by the elimination of opposition. As far as opposition thrives, the position is not secure. You know, when David handed over to Solomon, he said, before I go, finally, let me tell you what to do. Joab, don't permit his gray hair to enter the grave. As far as that man is alive, your throne is not secure. He called about three people for him. One son of Belial, Bichri. He said, that man, don't allow his gray hair to go to the grave. He's a child of Satan. Then he called one other guy, one of those priests, one of the evil ones among them. He called his name and he said, handle them. In the first chapter of Solomon's reign, he handled all of them. In the first chapter, the first chapter of his reign, he handled all of them. He said, go and tell Joab to come. Joab ran to the altar and held the horns of the altar. See, the king is coming. He said, I'm not coming. If you want to kill me, let me die here. The king said, do unto him according to what he said. They slaughtered him on the altar. He eliminated them in the first chapter. And the Bible says, and Solomon had peace. His reign secure. In 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 4, God gave Solomon rest round about so that there was neither adversary nor evil occurring. It wasn't by accident. He calculatedly wiped them out. For God to give you rest, you have to fight opposition. And I speak today by the anointing and the mandate of God on my life and ministry. For as many as came here today, I believe that the days of satanic hostility are over in your life. The God-given position for you and your ministry shall be secured. By the time this fire conference is over, when you return back to where you are coming from, they will know that somebody has returned with fire. they will know that somebody has returned with fire.
If you believe that, say amen. The fourth thing why this fire is needed, necessary, fourth thing is the fire is needed for a confirmation of the calling. Somebody say confirmation. Confirmation of the calling. No more controversy. If I be a man of God, let fire fall. If I be not a man of Satan or a man of myself. Because when you exist firelessly, it appears as if you sent yourself. When you see fireless existence is a non-confirmation of ministry. When you exist and any devil from anywhere can do anything he wants and go free. And opposition is thriving and you do nothing. When this prophetic apostolic mantle of fire begins to answer your enemy, answer the opposition, answer the kingdom of darkness, that is when it is confirmed that you didn't call yourself. If I be a man of God, let fire fall. If I be not a man of God, it will not fall. And I like that realm. God has not called you to apologize on his behalf. And you know what I'm saying? People are trying to apologize and trying to do things and trying to. He has not called anybody to help him apologize. He has not called anybody to assist him work it out. If there is no confirmation of ministry, then frustration is inevitable. It's inevitable. You need a fire. You need a fire on your life that confirms and validates that you didn't send yourself. The witches of your village will know. The strong men and women of the city where you are will know that you haven't sent yourself. I believe personally it's better not to have a ministry than to have an unconfirmed ministry. Why suffer yourself for nothing? Why suffer yourself for nothing? Facing witches, facing wizards, facing demons, and facing all manner of Jezebels without confirmation. I believe somebody needs to shake hands with you with evil intention and regret it till he dies because of what he encountered. I believe somebody needs to look into your eyes with an evil intention and what he encounters remains with him till burial. One day, we left a service here and everybody was going home and now a girl who that was last year's May convention, crowned with glory. And she went and she was in a vehicle going to Kubwa, not knowing that they were ritual killers. Before she knew what was happening, these were ritual killers. They said, we need your head. She said, what? She began to cry. She began to shout and scream. She said, just keep quiet. Nothing will save you today. The merciful God showed up in the car. All of a sudden, an angel of the Lord, as far as I'm concerned, appeared in that vehicle. Brought out a knife and struck the head of the man who was about to strike her. And the blood began to flow. And the man said, hey, I've been struck. I've been hit. The girl is a witch. Push her down. They pushed her down. Pushed her down. While the man was still bleeding on his way to die. Because he that taketh the sword shall die by the same sword. It is blood he is looking for, and God is giving him his own blood to drink. That girl would have died for nothing. Without a judgmental fire, she would have died for nothing.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Everybody sitting here, you must make up your mind that you won't leave this place with a ministry unconfirmed. You won't leave this place with a ministry unconfirmed. You won't leave this place with an with begging people to recognize you as man of God. You won't leave this place. You won't leave this place. You won't leave this place. And people and the devil is still looking at you as one of those people who claim to be pastors. There are some people you look at, you can't say he claims. Does he claim? No, sir. No. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? No, sir. It is time, and I'm not just talking to pastors, but I'm talking to every child of God. He shall baptize everybody, not just pastors, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall fill you with this fire so that anywhere you step, you leave a fire signature. I was in Aso, no, not Aso, Kabai for a program, and a church there, and somebody said, he came in with a terrible witchcraft attack pursuing her family, and I prayed on oil for them, asked them to anoint their doors and anoint their houses, and this man went anointed with his house. The following day, somebody landed on the front of the door, bam, and nobody saw him coming. That is practically flying in the realm of the spirit to oppress as usual. As he came to the entrance, bam, on the ground, and he's a neighbor in the house. There are two of them. So the other one in the house saw how this one landed on the ground. He ran to say, what happened? And there are two of them together. That one was lifted up first. And then left from the up there. Bam! They were arranged from there to the hospital. I haven't heard of the outcome yet. But that kind of thing, survival is not thinkable. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You need a confirmation now. You need the confirmation of your ministry will give rise to explosion. You see, there are some confirmation. You see, the witches and the wizards will announce to each other. A confirmation will give rise to an explosion, an extension. A confirmation will give rise to an unusual saturation of the land. A confirmation. You need it. One devil will tell another devil. One witch will tell another witch. One wizard will tell another wizard. That is not a place and that is not a people to touch. One child was healed of sickle cell anemia, SS chain to A, one of these children that got healed. The one that we took her testimony at the Eagle Square. Yes, that girl. Left school and was going inside town like this, and about four of them, little children, left school. And they entered a car. Unknown to them, these were ritualists. He asked the first one, where do you attend to? You go to church? He said, no. He bent down his head. The one that bent down his head. What of you? He said, so-and-so church. What of you? So-and-so church. What of you? Dunamis church. He stopped. He said, which Dunamis? The one in the rear one. All of you go down. All of you go down. All of you go down. All of you. We won't touch anybody at all. All of you go down. All of you. There's little girl testified here. They are in Lube Church, I believe. They testified in this church. All of you go down.
They announce to it. They tell each other. They tell each other. They tell each other. There is a person if you thought your whole family is off. Not just you, but your generation wiped out. Do you understand what I'm saying? They tell each other. That is why this confirmation is needed. It leads to an explosion. So if you are at a level, you see, fire is in levels. You understand what I'm talking about? Candle fire is different from kerosene. The firewood fire is different from the gas fire. The gas cooker is different from the electric open fire. It's also different from which one now? Of the acetylene flame, the one the welders use to cut iron, is another fire, and the sun fire is another fire. So you are at a fire level now that gives you a level of confirmation. If you move higher, you rise higher to another level of validation. And I believe that somebody here must make up your mind to move to the next level, the next level of intensity, the next level of fire, to let the devil know that he has taken you for granted for the last time. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
They stoned Stephen. Stephen said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And they gave up the ghost. They stoned Paul, killed him, dragged him out of the city. Say, "Father, into your hands I commit not my spirit yet."
I still have work to do. He stood up and went his way. They arrested John the Baptist, took off his head. They arrested Elijah. He said, "Me? Fire." This is level. As I speak today, I believe something is happening. Because that is what our generation needs right now. This is what our generation needs right now. They need men with the heart of a volcano. They need men with eyeballs of fire. They need men who can be identified in the realm of the spirit. Men that you can't toy with at all.
One young man shared a testimony yesterday, Sunday morning. He's about to run for student union government in his school. And he said, "You, student union government president? Impossible. You have to be a cult member. You have to be in a known cult for you to be at that position." And he looked at me like the young man told himself, "I belong to something bigger than cult." And went and printed his posters. And every poster he prints, he puts a quotation from his senior pastor. He puts a quotation from this book. He puts a quotation. So and so and so quoted. On campus, the posters are different from other posters. Lecturers saw it. They saw something different. Then lecturers began to campaign for him in the class. They began because he carried something that was thicker than cult. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He carried something that was heavier than what the occult. Long story made short, he won the presidency overwhelmingly. Because when fire jam with fire, the lesser fire must burn. You need confirmation now. You don't have a case in court without witnesses. You don't have a case now. You don't have a case. You can't judge. Does not hear explanation. Are there witnesses? Are there evidences?
Fire is our evidence. If I be a man of God, what? Fire is our witness.
That is fire witness that I'm a man of God.
Let fire witness. Since you are doubting that I am a man of God, let the fire witness. Let this judgmental fire mantle witness. Whether I'm a man of God or not, let the fire judge.
the wristless or the missionary to Calabar who abolished the killing of twins is coming one day the road and came face to face with the lion. Stood and the lion stood. She said, in the name of Jesus, move off. The lion looked up and down and turned. She didn't say anything to anybody about it. It was people who came close and saw the encounter that reported it. For her, it was normal. He didn't share the testimony. Are you hearing what I'm saying yet? Daisy Osborne, the wife of T.L. Osborne, went somewhere. And a native doctor, a herbalist in Latin America, coiled a very thick snake around his neck. And the whole community, they were bowing for that snake. She looked at her like a woman with audacity will do. Say, give that thing to me. The herbalist say, what? The snake. Take. Bam! He collected it. It was a stick. It became a stick in her hand. And bowed the heart of everybody in that vicinity. You need this fire, sir? I don't care whether you are a pastor, whether you are a businessman, or that you are a Christian. When you step into that village that is witchcraft infested, let them see that the atmosphere changed. Let them see that the climate changed. Let them see something changed. Let me tell you the fifth and see whether I can say one or two things before we... Have I done? It's a confirmation. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a confirmation. Now, the fifth thing that makes this fire necessary, the fire enhances the spread of power. The fire enhances the spread of power, enhances the spread of the power of God, enhances the spread of the principles of God, enhances the spread of the fear of God. You see, there is a certain dimension of operation that you are operating in the realm of the spirit that you can't be bottled. You cannot be bottled. You can't be bottled. You can't be bottled. And the man coming from Cameroon, look at what he's saying. It's literally taking over that land. Can't be bottled. You can't be trapped. You can't be bottled. I went to our church in Maraba the other day and I was amazed. Because I haven't seen their construction. I just saw it when it was without form and void. It was a miniature of this one. Glass everywhere. Have you been there? You need to go there. I wrote the same thing. You spread by force. By force. Do you understand? Inasmuch as fire cannot be restricted, especially the fire of God, the one that leaked the water. Remember the fire Elijah called that leaked water? Fire drinking water. Oh my God. Fire drinking water. Normally water quenches fire. Now fire is quenching water. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I shall be heard. The devil has no option. In the name of Jesus, the fire of God in my heart, the fire of God in my spirit, the fire of God in me must go out.
must go out. Must go out. No devil can stop me. It must go out.
Now, I'd like you to make up your mind, sir. Make up your mind. Make up your mind today. I believe that the generation we are now, it is easier to succeed than fail. That is what I believe. By the diversities of examples God has placed above us. Men and women with results and with instruction. Many years ago, in 79, 81, you may not get a minister's conference such as this for anybody to say anything like this. If anybody fail now, it is his choice. That is what he wants. That is what he wants. No. It's not the problem of the witch. It's not the problem of the wizard. It's not the problem of ancestral spirit. When you have finished with that one, when anybody fails now, it is his choice. I believe it was March this year, I preached on mental bondage and mental renovation. Pharaoh has left the Israelites, and yet they couldn't reach the promised land. For 400 years, Pharaoh was their problem. Now Pharaoh has left them. Pharaoh is no longer your problem, and you are still roaming about in the wilderness. What is your challenge? A time comes when it is no longer Pharaoh. A time comes when it is no longer the principality of the land. A time comes when it is no longer ancestral spirits. A time comes when it is no longer a witch pursuing a man. A time comes when it is the decision of the man. What do you really want? One man was so afflicted by witchcraft in his family until he decided to shut up himself. Was reading 65 chapters of the Bible every day. 65. Locating acidic passages. Hallelujah. Before that 40 days was over, the witch, wizard, every night, he made up his mind. One man came to the doctor. The doctor said, I'm very, very sorry to let you know that this is a terminal condition. Just arrange yourself so that you can see how you handle your family and go. The man said, so I will leave my wife and children for who? I'm not dying. I leave my wife and children for who? I'm not dying. Simple. He lived. Somebody said, if you don't mind an empty church, it can continue to be empty. But the time will come when you say, even if I have to hire a vehicle to carry all the beggars on the street, but the church must not be empty. It's a choice. Hallelujah. Let me say something to us. There are some things you used to know people who are on fire. I'd like to show you some characteristics of the people on fire. Hallelujah.
What are the characteristics of that man of fire? That man, I'll just give one of it this afternoon. We'll pray and see whether we'll continue later or tomorrow. The first thing you will know about a man who is a man on fire, the character of that man on fire is tireless, passionate, zeal. Tireless, passionate zeal, fervency, enthusiasm. Tireless, passionate zeal, fervency, enthusiasm. When a person is on fire, hear this. He is aglow, aflame with enthusiasm. Every time you sense that you are lacking passion, you are lacking zeal, you are lacking enthusiasm, the diagnosis is a lack of fire. Enthusiasm is lacking. You are not as excited as you used to be about the work of your hands. You are getting tired. You are getting discouraged. Fire is lacking. Fire must be kindled. Shut yourself up. 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. When you see a man on fire, he is a man of perpetual momentum. So, a lack of momentum, a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of zeal, a lack of passion is a symptom of decrease in fire. You know that you are not, you don't pray as fireful as you used to pray. You are not preaching as fireful as you used to preach. You are not doing the things as fireful as you used to do. You are now dragging your feet. And when fire is low, impact can't be high. You can't be lacking in fire and be making impact. You can't. You cannot be lacking in fire and be high in impact. No, sir. You hear what I'm saying here today? A time must come in the life of every pastor where you shut out every activity. 3 days. 24 hours. Or as many days as you can afford. Once a week, once a month, once a quarter. Where you are in the spirit and charging up your system. 3 hours, 5 hours. Praying in the spirit. Studying. One young man came to me the other day and I placed him on a program. And I gave him 3 days and I placed him on a program of praying in the spirit and studying a particular book of the Bible and so on and so forth. When he came out, he told me that 2 hours tongue in that minimum he did, he said he's going to continue it for life. He said he was so charged up, he was so sensitive in the spirit. Anytime you begin to look for encouragement, fire has started dying. Nobody is even encouraging me. All this work I'm doing is not a problem of anybody. It's a lack of fire. Hypofireremia. Hypofireremia. Low fire level in the blood.
Hallelujah! Is anybody about to rise like a lion today? Don't let overactivity kill your fire. Over congested. I'll talk with my guy from Cameroon very shortly about that volume of counseling. Don't let over congested schedule. You are here, you are there, you are up, you are down, and before you know what is happening, your fire is gone. You see, when you lack priority, you will soon lose your authority. We must understand priority. What is the first thing that is the most important thing in the life of a pastor? It is his relationship with God. The pastor is first a Christian. But there are many pastors who are no longer Christians. But they are still pastors. But the man is not a Christian again. He's not praying to God again. He's stealing church money. He's sleeping with church women. He's telling lies on the altar. Right? He has almost turned into a dupe. He started well. He was genuinely called. But he got too busy. He got involved with the wrong friends. And then, before you know it, he derailed. Every time your enthusiasm is dying, you are in a state of emergency. Every time your enthusiasm is dying, your passion is dying, your zeal is dying, you are in a state of emergency. Are you hearing what I'm saying yesterday? A real man of fire does not look for external motivation. He is auto-motivated. You know, auto-drive. He's auto-motivated. He's not looking for external encouragement. He's auto-encouraged. Automatic. He's auto-encouraged, auto-motivated. Auto-drive. And these are the people that mark their generation. Who can you? I ask you a question. Who was encouraging Elijah? Jezebel couldn't. If Jezebel was Elijah's friend, then the dog and the cat are friends. I mean, lone man sitting alone on the top of the hill on his own, waiting for no advice, waiting for no encouragement, waiting for no motivation, seated there. If I be a man of God, roast. Smell of suya everywhere. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting something here today? I believe that in this meeting, your excitement will come back. Your enthusiasm will come back. Your passion will come back. Your zeal will come back. If you believe that, say a loud amen. If you believe that, say a loud amen. If you believe that, say a louder amen. In line with that, a tireless passion and a tireless enthusiasm and zeal, a man of fire does not over celebrate victories. Let me say what I mean by that. When the man is on fire, he thanks God for what God has done, but he rapidly moves beyond it. He does not permit himself to be tied down by yesterday's victory. He doesn't permit himself to be tied down to yesterday's success. Because the success of today can become the enemy of tomorrow's victory. You don't understand what I'm talking about? That is the reason why many ministries and pastors are stagnated today.
They have done so well and people clap them until they clap them into irrelevance. Clap them. Clap, 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 clap. Clap them into settlement. Premature arrival. Which is the enemy of ultimate fulfillment. Arriving too soon. Which equals arriving too small. When the man is on fire, if he achieves this, he considers it as a stepping stone to the next level. When we're this second year anniversary of this church, I think we had already built the first sanctuary, which took us only 8 weeks, and we have already extended it. By our first year anniversary, we had 5 canopies outside, and that hall, 6 canopies outside, and that hall could take about 800 or so people, and then we had 5 canopies outside. That was very massive. First year anniversary. By the second anniversary, some newspaper people came and said, "We came to interview you. What did you do for this ministry to succeed to this degree?" I told him, "Leave me alone, my friend. We haven't started. I can't give you no interview. If you interview me now, what will we do in 10 years' time?" I couldn't give him any interview. You want me to say, "Oh, you see, in those days, only 2 years. In those days, I know how we fasted. In those days, only 2 years. I don't think we have started yet as we are now. As we are now." I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, "I can travel anywhere in the world I want. I can travel anywhere, preach anywhere in the world I want. I've had invitations to US how many times this year? I can go anytime I want, but I have not been able to go." And I said to her, I said, "There is something in our heart we are waiting to see that has not yet been sighted. And until that is seen, movement now is a distraction." All the places I went this year, where I went because it was almost impossible not to go. Went to Bishop Kayanja's church in Uganda. And they had been asking me to come. You understand what I'm talking about? There is a level. There is something we see. There is something we see in the spirit that has not yet been seen in the physical. It must be seen. When Solomon finished everything that was in his heart, he finished building the house of the Lord, he finished everything, the next thing, he started marrying wives. That's no more assignment. When people stop making impact, they start messing up. When you stop making impact, you start messing up. Paul said, I have finished the race. He said, "I'm ready to be offered." Why will you finish when you are not ready to die?